Good morning. This is Pastor Craig, and welcome to What's Happening, Marion. Thank you for joining me this morning, and I have a special guest in the studio this morning, but before I introduce him, I want to do a special shout-out to Brian Wolf at Wolf Rock Radio in Cleveland, Ohio. Brian, thank you for tuning in, and more power to you. I've got here in my studio Tom Schultz, and Tom's been on the he's been on my 1 o'clock show a couple times, but I wanted to have him on the What's Happening, Marion, to talk about the Waldo Sportsman's Club. Because if you're not familiar with the Waldo Sportsman's Club, folks, you need to get yourself familiar with them, because they have tons of activities going on there, and a lot of what they do is directed at our youth. So Tom, welcome.
Hey, glad to be here, Craig.
It's good to have you. So just right off the bat, kind of tell us, you know, about the Waldo Sportsman's Club, how many hundreds of years it's been around, and what kind of, just a little bit of history.
Okay, the Waldo Sportsman's Club is a local, small-town shooting club, and it started out somewhere around 1960. A group of guys in the area decided that they wanted to do something to promote, to get youth involved in the outdoor sports, hunting and fishing, trapping, things like that. So these guys got some property and they set up the Waldo Sportsman's Club. And it's called the Waldo Sportsman's Club because it's right on the west edge of Waldo, but it's technically across the property line or line into Prospect. It has a Prospect address. It is 735 Waldo Western Road, Prospect, Ohio. But it's just west of the little town of Waldo. So it has evolved since 1960 into what we have today. We have a sportsman's club that is very dedicated to youth activities, involving youth in all of the outdoor sports, hunting, fishing, trapping. And it has come a long way.
Give us an idea, like how many acres do they have there?
I'm not sure. That's a very good question. It's a pretty big piece of property. Yeah. It has a big pond that is stocked, and it's members can go and fish. It's catch and release. We have archery ranges. We have rifle ranges, pistol range. It is a big piece of property.
Now, the pond is stocked with what?
Oh, it has bass, crappies, bluegills, catfish, a couple of other varieties of fish that just keep things clean, but it's got some fish in it.
Okay. All right. So now you were saying about, you know, you got some various youth events going on, because that's your kind of really the focus.
Yes. Actually, let me read the purpose, I'll paraphrase, the purpose of the Waldo Sportsman's Club. Back in 1960, those guys were smart enough to have a purpose.
And they had a constitution.
And they have a constitution.
And they stated what it was.
And a set of bylaws. And they stated in the constitution that their purpose is to educate and encourage the youth of the area in the outdoor shooting sports, hunting, fishing, things like that, to get kids involved. So we have kept that tradition, and it has grown in enthusiasm and involvement over the years to where today we have so many of our members will flock to the club anytime we're doing an event. We actually have more help than we have duties to do, which is good.
That's a good problem, because there are so many organizations out there that they're like, you know, begging people to help them with their events and stuff like that. So you have no problem at all.
We do not have that problem anymore.
Great.
We have a lot of younger, more involved people, which is good to see. So the event that we just hosted last weekend was the countywide 4-H Shooting Sports Youth Day. So we allowed them to use our facility, and we donated them some money to put their event on. That was for all of the 4-H clubs in the county that have shooting sports activities.
Roughly how many would that be?
Archery. That I'm not sure.
Okay.
I just help facilitate these things. Okay. The 4-H groups, I'm not involved.
But anyhow,
it
was for all the 4-H clubs
in
the county.
So. In the Marion County area, yes. Mm-hmm. And it was a very successful day. We didn't get to be on the radio before that to promote that, but it was a wonderful event. Lots of activities for the kids: archery, 22 rifle shooting, air rifle shooting, archery. Just lots of events.
Now, do you provide like like you provide all the guns, or can the youth bring in their own guns, like for the 22s and like that?
For that depends on the activity. That's a very good question. For the 4-H activity, 4-H took care of all that.
Okay.
That would be worked out between them, their members, and the youth involved there and their parents. For our events that we actually do, the summer youth event, which is coming up in June, I'll talk about that in a minute, and the fall youth event in November is a huge event. We do supply some firearms for the different things. For the November 9th, Fall Youth Day, that's an actual pheasant hunt where kids can register ahead of time for an actual guided pheasant hunt. Huge day. They do bring their own firearms for that. We keep firearms available for kids to shoot on our target ranges for different parts of those events, but mostly the kids bring their own. Their parents bring them.
Okay. Right. So, you got a big thing coming up in June.
Yes, June 8th is the day for that one. That's our summer fishing derby. It started out with just a fishing derby, and it has grown over the years. Now they have not just the fishing, which is the main focus, but they have 22 rifle shooting, archery, trap shooting, so many activities. Kids are not bored. And their parents can be involved, too.
So if there's a parent out there that's hearing about this for like the very first time and they're like interested in this, you know, wow, that would be something great Johnny could do. So do you have a website they can go to, or is there a number they should call?
We do. We post everything on our Facebook page, which has been popular enough. Plenty. That gets plenty of interest mm-hmm. in our activities, and it can, everything we do can be seen on the Facebook page.
Okay.
We post flyers, and we post all updates, and we post pictures afterwards, and we get a lot of good response from just our Facebook page. Okay. So
they would go, they'd get on Facebook, and they would go, Waldo Sportsman Club.
The Waldo Sportsman's Club.
The Waldo Sportsman's Club.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, and they can find out all the details there. All of our events, it's interesting to, that I need to note, the all of the youth events that we put on are free. We usually feed everybody at some time during the day, whatever time that happens to be and whatever the meal happens to be, but it's all included. All of the activities are included. We'll feed you. It's just a great day.
That's a great deal.
That is a good deal.
And you can't really go into more specifics about the menu because they're going to get fed whatever was shot or caught in the last 24 hours, right?
That is not quite true. I would love to do a wild game feed at some point, but that'll be in discussions.
That's just an idea for later. So all right, so that's coming up in June. Which date specifically?
That is June 8th.
June 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And is there like a deadline to get your kids signed up for it? Or
there is. The pre-registration is always what we do. The Facebook page will have that information. Okay. Exactly. I have the flyer on my phone.
Well, that's okay. They'll find it on the Facebook page.
Yes.
All right. So, that's coming up in June.
Yes.
What are some of the other events that you have going on there between now and June, or, you know, July, August? What are some other events? Because I know you do a lot more.
Yeah. June is the next one coming up that we sponsor. Throughout the year, the Boy Scouts, Scouts USA, they use our facility several times for their campouts, the overnight weekends. That's where the kids can do different activities to earn badges in different outdoor skills. So we allow them, the Boy Scouts, to use our facility several times a year, and that'll be going on between now and June, and then a few times after that into the fall. We also have our fall event, which I mentioned just a second ago. That's November 9 this year, and that'll be the actual pheasant hunt. And along with the actual pheasant hunt will be all of the other activities, 22 rifle shooting, muzzle loader shooting, air rifle shooting, trap shooting. We have a turkey shoot that we do that the kids can win prizes at. We give away a lot of stuff. We have a lot of good sponsors for all of our youth events. And we take care of kids.
Oh, that's great. Now, I'm going to ask a really dumb question here, but, you know, I'm a city boy. Okay. Born and raised in Columbus. Lived in Columbus for 40 years. Now, I've been out here in the country for the last 15. Well, a little bit longer than that. But so I'm learning a lot about country life. But please, because I know absolutely nothing about a turkey shoot. But yet I see all the time, you know, in Morrow County where I used to live, they, you know, the Amish have a couple places, they have turkey shoots. And I've seen those signs all the time for turkey shoots, but I total ignorance. How does that work?
Okay. A turkey shoot is basically stationary targets, and the child will use a shotgun, mm-hmm. which shoots a shotgun shell, shoots several pellets that come out. So it ends up being lucky. It's the closest BB to the center, X,
okay.
wins the prize. And your shotgun is a pretty good chance at that because you have multiple BBs in
right.
that.
Yeah.
So okay. And we give out prizes for that.
Okay.
So that's how a turkey shoot works.
All right. Now,
Lucky yes. X, they used to call them.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day, they were called Lucky X.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, you mentioned... about the Boy Scouts.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that's like when a Boy Scout troop or a couple troops want to use your facility. I mean, it'd be like for a whole weekend, they can set up the tents and go camping and,
yes.
and that whole thing?
Yes. We do that several times a year. They just had one earlier, just before spring. They came, they set up their tents, they camped out, they used our building, the main facility, as their headquarters. Kids had their tents out, they did their, and they get badges for setting up their tents and doing all the things if they do it properly. So they use our facility for just that. The kids learn a lot. We have the proper area, enough room for them to do all their activities. It works out really well. It's a good relationship we have with them.
Yeah, that's great. Well, my mind was wandering there. I mean, it was going in different directions from the standpoint of, I know that the Boy Scouts Council of Simon Kenton has Camp Lazarus, you know,
yes,
in Delaware, and you know they have a lot of troops come together and do things there. Has your facility ever hosted, or have there ever given any thoughts to having like a multi-troop? You know, what I was thinking of was like the jamborees. When I was in Scouts, I remember there were jamborees. And, of course, there was the big national jamboree every year. But there were smaller regional ones. Is that something you've ever done or entertained doing?
We have not hosted one of those. Ours is more of a local troops. Okay. We'll use our facility throughout the year to do their individual things.
Okay.
And then they do, like at Camp Lazarus,
right.
to gather for the big jamborees.
Okay.
So ours is a little smaller than that.
Yeah. Okay.
But it fulfills a purpose.
There you go.
Which we're happy to do.
All right. So what else do you guys do?
Oh, my goodness. Community-wise, we contribute and support many local things. The Waldo Pool, for example. We contribute to the Waldo Pool to help them operate and keep going. Some of our members.
Where is the Waldo Pool?
I am so sorry. It is just west of the town of Waldo.
Okay.
Waldo is right on 23. Uh-huh. Just to the west
okay.
is a park and then the Waldo Pool.
And then there's a cemetery.
And there is a cemetery in there
okay.
in between, yes.
All right.
So that's okay. the location of it. I'm sorry. And we contribute to that, help keep them going. That's a local community thing. A lot of our members, or some of our members, volunteer on the first Friday of each month at All Occasions Catering, which is just south mm-hmm. of Waldo,
yep.
For the food pantry. First thing Friday morning, first Friday of the month, two of the local churches organized the food pantry, where they give food to people that need food, and some of our guys go and volunteer there to help get those boxes out into the cars.
So that's the first Friday of every month?
First Friday of every month at All Occasions Catering.
And what time?
I believe it starts at 8 o'clock.
Okay. Because, see, I wasn't even aware of that. So, that's something that I need to be aware of
well,
that
Craig,
I can announce.
You can add that to your list right. of what's happening around Marion.
That's exact. No, that was exactly. All right. That's the first Friday every month.
Yes.
And it's at All Occasions.
Uh-huh.
And it's two churches that organize it. And the Waldo Sportsman's Club has volunteers that work
yeah.
it.
Great. Yes. That is correct.
All right. So what else you got going on?
Oh, my goodness. We work with so many different organizations, the ODNR being one, Division of Wildlife. We work with them. I'm actually their hunter education instructor. So I teach hunter education. The Waldo Sportsman's Club is kind enough to let me use the facility to do these educational things. The ODNR comes in, does their part. We work together. They help us with all of our events. The ODNR will show up at the spring fishing derby in June. They'll show up at the fall youth event in November, and they'll set up a display of some kind. Last year, it was tree stand safety that the ODNR put on. So it was a demonstration of how tree stands work. They had a raised platform that they could take kids up a couple at a time and let them shoot targets from above ground, which was just great. The kids really got a kick out of that.
Wow. You guys are doing a lot of neat things.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Keep going.
That was just one station. I'll call them stations, okay, at the event. We have the Heart of Ohio Strutters, which is a turkey hunting organization around the area. They contribute to our events. They come and set up and do the actual turkey shoot that we talked about a minute ago. They take care of that station. 4-H Shooting Sports has certified instructors that set up the 22 rifle shooting, so they help us out by manning that station. And all of these people that do the different stations are certified in what they do. So it's absolutely as safe as it can possibly be. We have good instructors, good people, lots of help, and everything gets done just fine.
Wow. Next.
Next. Oh, my goodness. We work with the local Pheasants Forever chapter. We let them use our building for their meetings, so they have a place to meet and conduct their business. They contribute to our events, and we contribute to the things that they do. Anything, here the thing is in a nutshell, anything youth-related, if it involves the outdoor activities, outdoor sports, hunting, fishing, trapping, anything like that, we are all in. We support.
Okay. That's good to know. Talk to me about pheasant, okay? Now, here's what I know about pheasant. Despite being a city boy, I actually did pheasant hunting as a teenager because my dad was a real outdoorsman. He really was. And so my exposure to pheasant hunting is he belonged to an exclusive private hunt club. It was over in the Mechanicsburg area, and you probably know which one I'm talking about. But
I do.
And so he would take me pheasant hunting. Now, here's how I grew up pheasant hunting. You go to this private hunt club. They take a half a dozen pheasant and go out there and release them in the field. And then you use one of their dogs to hunt the pheasant. And it's okay. A really good dog. Now, that's my exposure to pheasant hunting. Now, the second thing that I think I know from my days of pheasant hunting is while there are pheasant in Ohio, they're not a bird that really takes to and adapts to and continues on. In other words, if we weren't helping them here in Ohio, we wouldn't have any pheasant here in Ohio. Correct?
That is not quite true.
Okay.
All right. So we'll just take off on this for a little bit. I'm good with that. The pheasant is a Chinese import, right? Yeah. People brought them here many, 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 many years
ago. Long before we were buying hunting, things right? from China.
They're fun to hunt, so they brought the birds here, let them go, and they will reproduce on their own out in the wild. We've seen birds that we put out for events. We saw them. All the ones that got missed, obviously, survived, and we saw them after the winter. Here comes spring. They're still running around, males and females both.
Okay.
And they will populate. They'll be fine.
So, but for your events, you also release...
We do. We don't release quite like some of the private clubs do. Mm-hmm. We take the birds out. There's a special technique for how to make them kind of take a nap for a minute. Mm-hmm. We just kind of relax them. Get them to take a little nap, put them in the tall grass, and then we all walk away. Then the kids go out, and we have really good outdoorsmen that have well-trained bird dogs. And these guys are fantastic to volunteer their time and come and do this. This is a guided pheasant hunt for these kids. We have the dog handler. We have a safety officer. And we have another individual that just is an additional safety guy that goes along with the kids out in the field. We take them just a small group at a time. We rotate them through from front shooters to being ready behind empty guns. And when the dogs find the birds, they point them. The dog handler will either flush the bird or the dog might. And when the bird flushes, they tell the kids when to shoot, where to shoot, and all that. It's really a good thing.
Yeah.
And the guys are very, very safe. We have a full schedule every year. 40 kids, I think, is what we can do in a day.
Okay.
Time, obviously, is a limit.
Right.
We can get 40 kids through an actual guided pheasant hunt, and pre-registration for the November event is a must.
Mm-hmm. How soon does it fill up?
Fast.
Okay.
I'll just say fast. We do have a requirement. Kids need to have been through the hunter education course in order to participate in the actual pheasant hunt.
Okay.
All of the other activities on the grounds, anybody can participate.
Okay, so when I was a teenager, and I was in Boy Scouts, and so I went through a hunter safety course that was, I know it was sponsored by or partially sponsored by the NRA, National Rifle Association.
Yes.
Is that still around, or what is the, or, you know, the safety course that you do or you require people to do? Whose course is it, or how many are available? Do you offer them?
That's a very good question. The Ohio Division of Wildlife, they require a hunter education course for any first-time hunter.
Regardless of age?
Regardless of age. So that is a required course. They put it on, and they have changed this course over the years. I've actually had to go back to school to relearn the new curriculum as it's changed. They keep up with everything they need to keep up with so that, this is the interesting part, Ohio certification for hunter education is recognized by every other state in the United States. So if you pass Ohio hunter education and you get a little older and you want to go out west on an elk hunt or something out west, that state will recognize your Ohio certification as a safe hunter.
Interesting.
That is a good thing that Ohio's done.
Yeah. And I'll bet Ohio doesn't recognize certain states if they came here.
There are certain states that do not have the compliance,
right,
like Ohio has kept up with, so yes.
Okay. Interesting.
That is an interesting thing. I'm glad you asked that.
All right. So now going a little off to the side here, but I know that you personally have some carrying concealed things that you, training that you offer. You get to use their facility. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not specifically a program of the club, but they let you use the facility, right?
That is correct. They are gracious enough to let me use, and other instructors as well, to use the facility for hunter education, which is fantastic. They do allow me to use the facility for concealed carry courses and other firearms-related courses, as long as they're community, like open to the community.
Right.
If we're doing community education or a public service of some sort, the Waldo Sportsman's Club is all for it.
And anything that's happening there, whether you're doing it or the club's doing it, it'll be on the Facebook page. So in other words, your next carrying concealed class will be on the Facebook page.
I probably will have that put there. It's almost, this next one coming up, the 28th, is a semi-private.
Okay.
I was asked to do this for a group.
Oh, okay.
So I will.
But normally if you had it where it was open to the, you know, anybody, that it would be up there.
Yes, it would. Yes. Anything we do for the public, we post on the Facebook page.
Let's talk about trapping.
Okay.
Because it's something that I don't hear very much about. You know, when my dad was a youth in Pennsylvania back in the 30s and 40s, one of the things, I mean, they were, you know, really poor. And so one of the things is he did trapping to sell the pelts. and he did other things, you know, for money for the family. But, you know, and so he trapped, a lot of animals for the pelts. It seems like, and maybe this is just me, it seems like you just don't hear about that now. Am I wrong? Have I led a sheltered existence here? Or is trapping not what it used to be?
Well, you haven't heard about it lately because it's not a widely publicized thing in the media and everywhere else. Trapping is very much alive and well today. We have a lot of trappers.
You just also have a lot of other people that are potentially against it, and so that's why you keep it kind of...
Okay. Yeah, these things are... when you talk about pelts and, you know, selling the pelts, that's... Trapping is a wonderful outdoor adventure. I would highly recommend it. But there are people who do not like the idea of trapping and selling a pelt. So,
okay.
Both sides of a coin, no matter what we look at.
Now, you guys had an event, I believe it was earlier this year. It may have been last year, last fall, this winter, whatever. And I mentioned it here on the show, What's Happening, Marion. And actually, I mentioned it on the show before I'd even met you. And that is your... Actually, it was around the time that I met you the first time, because we talked about it over coffee. The Coyote Roundup. So tell me a little bit about the Coyote Roundup.
Okay, the Coyote Roundup is a slightly different event than our normal youth events. The Coyote Roundup is a mid-January event every year. I think this coming will be our 10th year, if I think, 10. That is a local guy's... kind of a contest, coyote hunting contest. Coyotes are a problem. We all know that. So the guys were talking one day many, many years ago, hey, we ought to get a contest together and just see how many we can get rid of in the area. Well, there you go. Contest was born. So this event has been going on for, like I said, this is the 9th year we just did, 10th coming up. It is a 3-day hunt. People can register for the event and then hunt anywhere that you have written permission to hunt. Bring me your coyotes, and we'll get them tagged, get you checked in, and we'll keep count. 3-day event. On Sunday of the event is the awards dinner, I call it. We feed everybody. This is a free event again. We feed everybody. We give away lots of prize money. We give away lots of prizes.
Do you have coyote stew?
We do not. Thanks, Craig. You always want to go back to, let's eat this. If we're going to kill it, let's eat it. Well,
I thought that was the whole point.
The whole point was to
eat what you kill.
Keep coyotes under control. So, yeah, that event has gotten bigger over the years. I actually just turned that over to one of the younger members of the club to manage that. So his name is Mason Sparks, and he's in charge of that from now on.
All right. Now, I know, with certain things, you have daily limits, bag limits, if you're hunting this, you're hunting that. But when it comes to something that is, quote, a nuisance or a pest or whatever, like coyote, there is no limit. And the state doesn't require you to check them in or anything. As long as you've got a hunting license, you can go out there and shoot them.
That is correct. Coyotes are the one thing that you can hunt 365 days a year, 24 hours a day.
Gophers.
Gophers are groundhogs.
Groundhogs.
You need a hunting license for that.
Okay.
I don't believe there's a limit on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can hunt them 365
days. You can hunt them every day of the year.
Can you you actually don't need a license to shoot coyote?
You do.
You do need a license.
Yes.
Okay.
Need a hunting license.
That's all you need is a hunting
license. That's all you need is a hunting
license. And some lead in the barrel.
And make sure you have your hunter education
course
certification.
Yeah. What would you recommend somebody use when hunting coyote?
Oh my goodness, what a good question. It would depend on what the area looks like that you're hunting, how the terrain lays, whether you're on state ground or private ground, if there's livestock in the area or what. I mean, it depends on a lot of things. We have guys in our group. I have a small hunting group that we hunt coyotes. That's what we do. Some of the guys use shotguns for closer range. And then again, the area has a lot to do with that. If the woods chokes down to a little funnel, you can get away with a shotgun in there. Some of us use AR rifles for a little long distance. It just depends on what you like and where you're hunting. You're going to trap me in a question here.
Would I do that?
Yeah, you would.
All right, so back on the, when you had the coyote roundup.
Yes.
You had prizes for the heaviest.
Yes.
And you had prizes by for the most turned in.
Yes.
And did you have something else, or was that it?
Yes, we had the we had a special prize for the lightest coyote, the smallest. That was interesting. We had a donation of a pegboard for your shop, mm-hmm. for the your workshop. Beautiful pegboard. This thing's like 4 feet wide and 3 feet tall. Big thing. Pegboard with an American flag in it. And that was donated to us to give away for the lightest, smallest coyote. So I actually took the opportunity at the banquet to not embarrass the person who got the smallest coyote, although he was a little embarrassed. He didn't want to admit it. But I wanted to make that special because the guy that gets the smallest coyote usually gets teased a lot.
Yeah.
But I wanted him to have a nice prize
right.
for all the teasing he got. Right. So it was it worked out really well. He was very happy with the prize he got. He wasn't so intimidated
right.
because he got the smallest coyote, and it made him feel good. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, it that kind of like spans all the range of things. Like, you know, in a bass tournament, you don't want to be the guy that's got the smallest bass.
That's true.
And stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. The bigger is better in the hunting world.
Now,
deer antlers is the same. Everybody wants the bigger antlers.
I think you told me, maybe I'm wrong, like either this year or was like in the last year or two, like you had the somebody in the coyote roundup had like the record of the heaviest or the biggest coyote, you know, in all the time you guys have been doing this.
We definitely had some big ones turned in over the years, and there's always one that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
We had one a few years ago that was pushing right at 50 pounds. That's a big coyote.
Yeah, because they average 35.
35.
Yeah.
35 is a good one.
Yeah.
So 50 pounds was really something.
Yeah.
I have yet to see a white one, an albino or white,
okay.
whatever. We have seen a couple of all black
okay.
coyotes.
Okay, so you have not seen anywhere an albino?
Nope.
But
haven't
you have
had one turned in.
Have you had one? Oh, you said you've seen a couple black ones.
Black ones. We've had two black ones turned in, all black. Two black ones turned in the contest over the last few years. And that's kind of neat to see because you don't see that every day.
Yeah. Now, do you actually, have you seen like coyotes very close to the club? I mean, have you seen them on the property?
Oh, yes.
Well, the reason I asked about that is because with all the things going on, all the activities, you know, all the shooting all the time and things like that, I would think maybe they would kind of stay away, but they...
Nope, they're around. Anything out in the rural area has coyotes walking through it, I can almost promise.
Yeah. Black bear?
Not around Marion that I've ever heard of.
Okay.
Southern Ohio, yes.
Yeah. You've seen?
I have. I've had them walk through my property in Southern Ohio.
Yeah.
I have trail cam pictures, and that's a whole other story, but anyway.
Now, this is interesting. So you have trail cams, obviously.
Yes.
And do you put, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I'm asking this because I don't know. This is I'm not feeding you a softball here because
okay.
I don't know. So I know a lot of people like put apples out for deer or put other things out for deer to attract them. And, you know, they watch them on their trail cams. And I don't know, but do you ever put food out for animals? Do you put anything out for the bear? Are you trying to attract bear? How's that work?
Personally, I know a lot of people do put feeders out and different things for the wildlife, and that's fantastic because you can watch wildlife, you know, more. That's great. Personally, I have feeders on my property in Southern Ohio. My wife loves to watch all the different animals from the front porch, so that's her little sanctuary. And I would encourage anybody to put bird feeders out or anything like that, squirrel feeders, or do whatever, just so you can watch the wildlife, you know, even more.
All right. So what else? Is there any other things you wanted to cover there as far as like events that you guys have coming up, you know, in the fall or winter or something that you do every year?
If I could just kind of highlight
sure.
the two events, the two youth events this spring, which is coming up June 8th, and all the information can be found on the Facebook page. That one's coming up. That's a wonderful day to be outdoors. And then the one in the fall is November 9, and that's another wonderful time to be outdoors. It's fall, the leaves are changing, you get to be outdoors. All the different activities we do, so much stuff for the entire family. I think we had just over 100 youth participate last year in the fall event.
Wow.
And parents include, I think there were probably 250 people through the door.
Wow.
And we fed them all. Everybody had a great day.
That's great.
Yep.
Wow. Really interesting.
And the spring event coming up in June is about the same. A lot of kids come. A lot of kids have fun. Parents always have a good time.
Now, one thing that you and I did talk about is that in recent years here, as you've been, you know, kind of expanding the youth activities, you know, getting kind of going back to putting the emphasis on that, that at the same time, you've seen, you know, a lot more younger members.
That's true. We've had a lot of younger members step up a little bit. We actually have an executive board now that is comprised of a lot of younger men, mm-hmm. which is good to see. A lot of the younger members have children of their own, so they started getting involved as the parent bringing the child.
Right.
And they were excited about what we do, and they wanted to get behind what we do. So then they became members, and the next thing you know, they're helping out with some of these events and doing a really good job.
Great.
Yep, that's what we like to see.
Yeah. Anything else you want to cover while we're got a few minutes left here?
I think that about covers everything. We've got different events we do during the different times of the year. We work with law enforcement. I just got a text a little bit ago where they would like to use our range for some training, and we're more than happy to accommodate them.
Now, would this be training of existing officers, or would this be training for like the youth corps or youth patrol or whatever it is they have, or what would that be?
This one that I just got the text about was for existing officers mm-hmm. to keep their certification. And then in August, we'll have a bunch of new people at the different law enforcement facilities that we help out that they'll be training.
Because I never really thought about this, but I'm guessing probably every law enforcement agency doesn't necessarily have their own shooting range.
Most of them do not.
Okay.
So we help them out. They came to us several years ago and said they lost the one place that they did have to shoot, and would we be interested in letting them use ours? We went over all the details. We got a pretty good deal worked out for them to accommodate what they need, and they're working with us too, and we're just going to let them do what they need to do to keep certified and keep well-trained.
Well, that's great.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that covers it, unless you can think of anything.
Well, listen, I appreciate you having me in today. I always like coming here.
I know.
It's always so much fun to be here.
Well, like I said, you've been on my other show, so we have a good time.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, again, Tom, I want to thank you for being here, and I've got just about 8 minutes left, so don't want to disappoint anybody. I am going to tell you what's happening, Marion, because there are a few things scheduled for this week.
Let's do that.
All right. Let's see. We have got tomorrow, April 13th, tomorrow, the Ohio Sand Hill Crane Survey. This is being put on by the ODNR. Did you know this Sand Hill Crane Survey was going on, Tom?
I did know that that's going on, but I didn't know much about it.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you about it. It's between 6:30 and 8:30 a.m. It's for 2 hours tomorrow morning. And if you want to be a part of the Sand Hill Crane Survey, you need to call 740-223-4161. And what they'll do is they'll get you set up, what you need to know and what you need to do, because the Sand Hill Crane Survey takes place in selected parts in Marion County. So they'll obviously give you assignment of a certain area you want to go. So that's the Sand Hill Crane Survey. And see, here, you know, here, I didn't even know they did stuff like this. I didn't know that they did that type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Also, on Saturday, tomorrow, the youth kickball is at the LaRue Community Center. And it's and also there's going to be a meal at the LaRue United Methodist Church afterwards. So here's what you need to know. Kickball's at the community center, and then at 5 o'clock, there's going to be a light meal and a craft and a movie being shown at the United Methodist Church there in LaRue. So that's going on tomorrow. All right. Also tomorrow, Saturday, April 13th, is a chili supper and raffle at the Green Camp Community Center from 4 to 7 p.m., and they will have raffle tickets available there at their chili supper. And the raffle tickets are to support, the money collected are to support projects in and around Green Camp. And if you've listened very long to me here, you know that I am 100% behind these communities like Green Camp and LaRue that are constantly having things going on at their community center. I think it's fantastic that these small little towns do things at their community center. Monday, April 15th, the Spring Wildflyer Hike at the Terradyce Nature Preserve. Terradyce Nature Preserve in Caledonia at 5 p.m. and discover some of the beautiful wildflowers of Marion County. Also on Monday, April 15th, is scrapbooking at the LaRue Community Center, 6 o'clock. Scrapbooking, bring your own photos. Monday, April 15th, 6 o'clock, Village Council Meeting, New Bloomington. If you live in New Bloomington, go to the council meeting and get yourself informed. That's another thing. Anybody's listened very long, you know I'm big on being informed on what's going on in your community. Tuesday, April 16th, is Card Night at the LaRue Community Center, 350 North High Street, 6 o'clock. Card night is Euchre and Mexican Train. Now, I'm sitting here and I said, I have never heard that.
Mexican Train is a Domino's game.
Oh, okay. It's a Domino's game.
It is. It's fun.
So they're having
Chicken Foot.
What's that?
Kind of like Chicken Foot is a Domino's game. Chicken Foot, Mexican Train, Domino's.
Okay, so you didn't learn this stuff at the Waldo Sportsman's Club, did you?
I did not. Okay. That's something my family plays.
So what other kind of domino games are there?
That's the only two I know, to be honest. Mexican Train and Chicken Foot.
I'll tell you what, I'm thinking about going on Tuesday night. Seriously, I'm thinking about going to Card Night at the LaRue Community Center and say, hey, guys, we'll play a round of Mexican Train, but then I want to play some Chicken Foot.
I'm sure you would have many takers.
If anybody who knows what Mexican Train is, they're going to know what Chicken Foot is.
I promise.
That's funny. All right. Wednesday, April 17th, is National Mustang Day at the Kingston residence of Marion. 3:30 in the afternoon, show off your Mustang. Tell your friend to show off his Mustang. You're going to get a chance to cruise through the parking lot there at Kingston. Please, no peeling of the tires. No burning rubber in Kingston. Just show off your Mustang. Thursday, story time at the Marion Public Library, 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. They have two sessions of story time. It's for preschoolers and younger. Basically, they do some singing and rhyming and activities and storytelling. And last but not least, Thursday night at the Marion Palace Theater is trivia night. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Trivia starts at 7:30. You can win cash prizes. So if you think you're a trivia expert, or if you can put together a team of trivia experts, that's Thursday night at the Marion Palace Theater. And that, folks, is What's Happening Marion. Thank you again for tuning in. Mr. Wolf in Cleveland, I thank you for listening. And that's pretty much it for today. I'll be back here at 12 noon. That's going to be about a 15-minute break. I'll be back at 12 for the Exchange Club with Scott Spears and Matt Morgan and myself. We'll be talking about who knows what. Last hour, they were talking about things that leads me to believe I'm going to have to do some family and marriage counseling around this place because there were some bizarre topics last hour. But I don't know what we'll get into. Maybe we'll talk about Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, or who knows what. Then I'll be back here at 1 o'clock, and hopefully I will have a very special guest show up in the studios that you'll definitely want to hear from. So don't go away. Take 15 minutes. Go get yourself something to eat, something to drink. Visit the little boys' room or the little girls' room, and then come back to your radio. Thanks again, and I'll see you in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of